rest of you guys wouldn't know the difference, which maybe some of you is. I believe it is. And Feast of Trumpets, and then of course we have the Feast of Tabernacles. And I want to talk a little bit about the Feast of Trumpets this morning and what it can mean to us. I mean, other than just celebrating something that has been celebrated a long time, I'm always asking the question, well, what this feast represented, how is it relevant to where we are right now spiritually? Turn with me to Leviticus chapter 23. Verses 24 and 25. Speak to the sons of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first of the month, you shall have a rest, Sabbath rest. Reminder by blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall not do any labor, you shall present an offering by fire to the Lord. This trumpet that is speaking of is not a sound created by the flesh of humans. And the trumpet happens to be one of my favorite instruments. But this trumpet sound is a sound created from the realm of heaven. It comes from God's heart. And it's important. And it says here, this time of the, when they're celebrating the feast, when this trumpet is blowing, Sabbath rest and offering by fire to the Lord. I believe spiritually what trumpets and what that spiritual sound is trying to alert us to is the day is upon us when we're to enter into the rest of the Lord. In the end of the soulish striving, in the realm of soul dominating us. It also says you shall present an offering by fire to the Lord. Well, Hebrews 12 says our God is a consuming fire. What are we offering by fire to the Lord? It's ourselves. So the trumpet is sounding. It's a spiritual word that's coming forth. There's an awakening coming from this trumpet sound. And what's being imparted is an end of the striving we've had, an end of that religious level. And what's opening up is the activity of God or the Holy Spirit. Offering by fire, it means we're giving ourselves to Him, and God is alive. God's the one that's moving. Isn't that what we're believing for? Exodus chapter 16. Actually, it's Exodus 19. Verse 16. So it came about on the third day when it was morning that there were thunder and lightning flashes and a thick cloud upon the mountain and a very loud trumpet sound, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Again, a loud trumpet sound. What is it? What's it all about? God wanting to meet His people. Again, that thing of awakening, God becoming alive to people. A day of rest, a rest from the flesh, but certainly not a rest as far as being passive. In the spirit, very alive, very active. I love this verse. I've never seen this before. Verse 17, talk about what it's all about. Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God. Isn't that what we're living? The camp. What is the camp? It's just where we set up camp in our own mind. It's our own carnal mind, our natural mind. It's the religious world. The leadership of the Holy Spirit, that trumpet call, is leading us out of what we've been familiar with and comfortable with. Out of the prison of our own thoughts. Out of that religious, soulish level. To meet God. To get acquainted with and experience the very presence of the Lord. That's what the sound is coming forth right now. And I tell you what, it's breaking across all denominational walls. It's no respecter of person. You know, in a church, we build up this kind of thinking, these little hierarchies, who's spiritual, who's not, how you get to be more spiritual, and all these little games we play. They're largely a product of our own natural thinking. this trumpet sound is coming from God. It is to whoever hears, whoever has a heart to hear, they're going to find themselves meeting God by the Spirit, getting to know who the Father really is. The veil is going to be, and it is being rent for all those that choose to have it rent, that don't want to live in the darkness of their own thinking. So it's a beautiful thing that's taking place. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I won't keep you jumping all day long here, but just one more in the New Testament. Corinthians 15, verse 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and again, here's that trumpet, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. Again, the trumpet, that spiritual sound will be made. And resurrection life is coming forth. Isn't that what it's talking about? The dead will be raised imperishable. We shall be changed. Transformation. The life of God coming forth. Here's that trumpet sound again. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and the mortal must put on immortality. So that's what the trumpet's connected with. That's where our faith is at. Now, is the trumpet sound, it originates in God. It's from God. But that doesn't mean it's independent from us, because God dwells in us. So we're involved with this whole process. It's a sound in the Spirit. We've described it, I used to think of it in terms of just the living Word of God coming forth. You know, not just scriptures, not doctrine, not ideas, but the words of Spirit and life. It's a sound coming forth from His people. And that sound is breaking something through, like it says here. Where the dead will be raised. Whatever's been dead, how can that be raised? Because resurrection life is coming forth. The trumpet sound is alerting us to focus our faith on meeting God. And I want to talk about this for a minute, because there are two types of faith that can operate. The faith that's awakened by God's Spirit, by that trumpet sound, realizes that only one thing is important: belonging to the Father. Because that's really what God's been after all along. Everything He's done and what He did through His Son was what? He's gathering His children back to Himself. So there is a faith that's born of God that is directed back toward God, believes that He is, reaches in to experience the oneness, the reality of that oneness with the Father. There's another level of faith that is moving toward goals or objectives. And believe me, there's a lot of goals we need to see accomplished out there. We look at the problems we see around us, we look at circumstances, and there's a faith that tries to move God into the burdens that we have. In other words, God, here's this great problem over here. We've got to see Your hand act. There's nothing wrong with this faith. Understand that. And so it's saying, God, I need You to move from heaven up here to this situation down here. Unfortunately, that faith has some problems built into it, because there's a mixture. When we're trying to direct God into where we think He should go, our mind is still very active in the process. And we're assuming that whatever burdens we have, those are God's burdens. And we're assuming that the way we interpret how things need to be done, that's how God is thinking about it. So there's a lot of frustration, and I'm sure you've encountered this, when you're trying to move God from the heavens. And that's the sense you get when you're trying to move God. You lose the sense of Him living in you, being one with you. All of a sudden, He's off somewhere, and you've got to try to find some way to get that power source into the situations that you're dealing with. Now, when we have this faith that I'm tying in with this trumpet call, this faith to meet God, no other agenda. Is the world messed up? Yes, the world is messed up. This world needs the kingdom of God ASAP. Full power. But we can be distracted by our mind worrying about all the things that are out there. The faith that wants to meet God, it becomes a consuming hunger. It says, There's a lot of other things that I can focus on, important things. But like Mary, there's nothing more important than sitting at your feet, getting to know you. That's powerful. Now, what that faith does is you have faith that moves you toward God, and then God, the reality of who He is, moves to and through you. I don't think there's going to be any more effective way to change planet Earth than to have people that have a heart like Mary sitting at His feet. Because through those people, God Himself will manifest into all situations. Now, who's a good example or a perfect example of this? Jesus. Where was His focus? Was it on all the problems He encountered and all the people that had needs? His primary focus was on the Father. Read the Gospels and you get the sense of that. He was surrounded by people, but yet He was never pulled by them into doing anything He wasn't led to do. People all around Him, all these needs, all this heartache, continually He had to deal with that. And yet His heart was totally set one direction, pleasing the Father. His faith went one way toward God. He said, I only do what I see the Father doing. I only speak what I hear the Father speaking. Because His faith was set on being with the Father could manifest Himself through the Son into all these situations. When we try to pull God into our agenda, our faith at best produces limited results. When we let faith lead us the way it wants to, which is coming to know the Father and seeking God, then the Father Himself is released by that faith. And the miraculous can take place. Things can take place that we wouldn't even anticipate. Turn with me to the book of Joshua. I'm going to skip some things I wrote down here. I'm going to go right to the last part. We're going to look at a certain battle, conquest of Jericho. May we hear the trumpet sounding in the Spirit right now. May we be a part of that. May that sound come through our lives. A call for people to return to the Lord. A sound that gets through, breaks through all the barriers of the mind, all the noise, all the voices that go on the mental level. It just captures people's hearts with the reality and truth. There's nothing more important than returning to the Lord. Hosea 6, come let us return to the Lord. If God can get that from us, that's all He wants, is people to return to Him. Then the earth is His. He'll do whatever He wants, manifest in all situations. We don't have to worry about that. Really, we're talking about a release from our mind, that strong human, and the mind is very self-serving, isn't it? That pride that is in our thinking of wanting to pull God our way to the spiritual level of faith that all it wants to do is seek Him for who He is, get to know Him. Now, when we look at this battle, Joshua chapter 6, it's the conquest of Jericho, and we can see some of these things in operation. And this is the first major battle that they face when they go into the land of Canaan. And you know the story. They're told, and I'll just read this real quick to you. You shall march around the city, verse 3, and all the men of war circling the city once. You should do it for 6 days. And 7 priests shall carry 7 trumpets and ram's horns before the ark. Then on the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. Okay, here we go, the trumpets again. Tie in with the Feast of Trumpets. And how are the trumpets being blown? The priests. Again, people are involved with this spiritual sound. Who are we? Kings and priests. So we talk about the sound of trumpets, this that spiritual sound. It's from our lives. It's meant to emanate and be expressed. Verse 5, and it shall be that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people will go up every man straight ahead. Let's stop there. Now, in this particular battle, it's so rich with symbolism and types and shadows. We're not going to go into all that, just a few points. Number one, if you were planning a battle strategy, would this be a plan that you would come up with? Are you going to find this in any history books? Great generals wrote about battle strategies. You're coming up to an enemy, the city is fortified with walls, and you walk around it for 7 days and blow trumpets, blow ram's horn. The strategy here doesn't make sense, does it? But see, that's the point. When we are, our faith is moving us back to God, our faith is moving us out of the prison of our own thinking, the limitation of our own thinking. What the people had to understand was God was not simply strengthening them to win the battles. What he was saying is, you belong to me, I will fight for you. Big difference. When we're trying to pull God with our faith, it's like we recognize we need the divine to get the job done. That's good. But we're still in control. When we're on the level of spirit and our faith is directing us toward God, it's, Lord, I belong to you. These battles are going to be met by you. Not me and you. I'm a vessel for you to flow through. So basically, God comes up with a strategy that says, you know, it's not up to your strength to win this, you warriors of Israel. Just march around the city, do what I tell you to do, and there's the key. Do what I tell you to do. And then on the seventh day, you hear that sound, you will shout, and what? The sound was so great that the walls crumbled? No, they obeyed God, and the power of God brought the walls of the city down. The key with this, again, is our faith is directed to God. We're not controlled by what we think. We are led by the Spirit. We're following what He's speaking. It doesn't mean that God will speak in ways that always seem unreasonable to you. What it means is when God is speaking to you, it's going to disrupt your confidence in your carnal mind. And you come to realize, Lord, this is your battle. You want to face the enemy. And you know, this thing of walls, I tell you, is there any bigger problem we face today? Walls, think about it. Think of, break it down to a relationship. People have problems, they build walls. Walls are built because of fear, they're built because of pride. But any way you look at it, as long as there's walls up, there can be no real intimacy, there can be real no real connection between people. Nothing of life gets through. It hurts marriages. It hurts. Look at the world situation. Look at the walls and all the hatred that goes on. There's no connection. You can say, well, all we have to do is just go, you know, defeat them. I don't want to get into a political thing here. The point is, we can defeat all the enemies out there as long as there's walls built and there's hatred. The same history is going to keep repeating. The will of God is that the sound of the trumpet come forth, that anointed word flow from His people, and all the walls come down. What is the prophecy in Zechariah about? Is it about Jerusalem? Is it? I think it's Zechariah. You'll be a city without walls. The glory of God will be in your midst. His fire will be round about you. So it's the will of God to break down all the walls and barriers. And where do walls come from? They come from our mind. They're constructs of our mind. So as long as there's walls built, the carnal mind is going to continue thriving. But when the walls come down by the power of God, and we are vulnerable, and we are open, then it's not going to be the carnal mind that's going to be ruling. It's going to be the mind of Christ functioning as it should. So it's a beautiful thing. This is really a prophetic picture, this whole thing of Jericho. Think of all the walls and all the damage they do in earth, in your own life. God wants to bring those walls down. But what does He need from us? Faith that's directed toward Him. And in that faith, there'll be the obedience to follow and do what He wants us to do. Just like the Israelites, you know, they're going, we're doing what here? How is this relevant? That's the way we are with God. Our mind always second-guessing, questioning. You know, when there's that faith that's directing you to seek God, even when your mind is not comfortable with the way the Spirit is leading, you know in your heart where the life is. And We're able to follow the Spirit. Remember it says those that are led by the Spirit are what? Sons of God. What does this mean? As you are being led by the Spirit, it means you're not being led by your carnal mind. So instead of being drained by the mind with this unbelief and fear, being led by the Spirit, you come to know your sonship in Him. Being led by the Spirit is a process that causes the revelation of who He is in you to increase. It empowers you to know who you are in God. I think this is what the trumpet is sounding right now. It's a call from the Spirit to awaken us to our spiritual home, who we really are. We believe for this in the time in Tabernacles that, again, it won't be just a series of services or rituals. Even though people may be celebrating it in such a way, we believe that it's going to be such a meeting with God for people during this time. The Spirit realm of heaven will break through into this realm in such a dramatic and powerful way. People will know who the true God is. Amen. Let's stand. Every other agenda. We're not going to pretend we don't have them. We recognize the one true need we have as your people is to return to you with all our heart. To know you, Lord. Your whole focus is to collect and bring your children to yourself. If that be the case, what should our focus be? But to return to know you as our Lord. To know your heart. Father, we open ourselves up to be able to hear what's being sounded from the Spirit in the realm of heaven. That it be clear enough, loud enough, that the voices of the natural mind cannot drown it out any longer. Let that call awaken us, Lord. Bring down every wall, every veil, that would prevent us from seeing you as you are. Let the trumpet sound forth now throughout the earth. Spiritual awakening to your people, Lord. We agree together for this. Amen.
Amen.
Good.
Amen.
Bless one another.
One at a time, one by one. And the major emphasis is I'm going to break down the unequal codependencies. I'm going to strengthen you individually to be a son and a daughter. And you will have different relationships. Relationships of the past that dragged you down or took you here or took you there.
Right.
We'll all straighten that.
Beautiful. Yeah, thank you. Thank you.